One, two, yeah, you get me. This is talk back to SI. Blah, blah, blah.
Good morning, everyone. Should I say start the recording, Evan? Yes? Okay, so could you please start the recording?
Recording is started.
Okay, well, good morning, everyone. Good evening, good afternoon for those who are on the Adavi Connect room. This is the thematic group 1, session 2. And we are going to speak about the future of multi-stakeholderism as we did yesterday. And this session's specific topic is how to foster a multi-stakeholder model at a local level. So in a minute, Alejandro Pisante will be joining us to speak about some efforts we've been doing in Mexico. And I say we've because I've been also working with him on that. And also, Adam will speak to us about what they've been doing in Japan in order to foster this multi-stakeholder model into a wider audience. And as soon as we get Marily Maciel, we would also like to listen to her about what they've been doing with CGI in Brazil. A couple of notes from yesterday's session. We haven't received the reports from all the groups.
Only one out of three
sent out the notes to Evan, and I think that's Evan himself or Larry who took notes for Evan's group.
No, I don't have from his. I have from
okay.
Carell.
Okay. Well, then. I would really appreciate if you could send the notes to Evan, and we'll take the same procedures as yesterday. We're gonna listen to Alejandro as soon as he's ready, and after that we're gonna have a questions and answers session with all the participants, and then we're gonna break into groups. But this time, instead of breaking into groups like we did yesterday, I would like to break into groups by regions, because I think it's a richer exercise if we analyze the multi-stakeholder fostering effort that we're doing by regions, either by just the tables, how we arranged. So, Alejandro, if you're ready, we're ready for you. Thank you.
Leon, thank you very much. This is Alejandro Pisanti. How much time do I have? I guess you have adjusted the schedule a little bit.
Yes, we run a little late, so we were expecting you to speak to us for about 20 minutes. So maybe we can just adjust that to 10 minutes, so then we can continue discussing.
Certainly, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Alejandro Pisanti speaking. This is what I will speak about is in response to an invitation that was made to me by the organizers of this section of the meeting on some of the experiences that we have had with multi-stakeholder cooperation in Mexico and a bit further out and briefly some other thoughts on the matter as well. Multi-stakeholder cooperation, the cooperation among different stakeholder sectors is not necessarily something you have to plan for. It's not something that you have to design first, not necessarily something you first design and then execute. Many of the instances that we know of cooperation among stakeholder sectors in internet governance has started by just that cooperation. And it may have become established as a mechanism or even a more stable organization as things go on. Multi-stakeholder cooperation in many developing countries, and that's our case in Mexico as well, for internet governance started with cooperation for all the internet work that was being done at the time. This means the academic community from universities, the technical community, starting in telephone and other companies, civil society groups and some governmental actors started coming together already as far back as the late 80s to establish an infrastructure of access to the internet and to start working on some of the now recognized internet governance issues, like establishing and managing the ccTLD, in our case .mx, but this is a history that you know well from your own countries. There would be a few people who knew what this this internet thing was, who would connect it together, who would come together with agreements on how to manage it, like interconnection, maybe an exchange point, and ccTLD management and domain name management. In our case, this started very much in the academic sector, spread to the telcos who were mostly providing the access services and maybe some domain name resolution, though the .mx registry started within a university and it still is very close to that one. The hotter internet governance issues came later. We have an evolution of internet governance arrangements internally and mostly reacting to outside stuff like the formation of ICANN, which began to bring together more people. We had an Internet Society chapter interacting with the NIC Mexico, which is the .mx manager. And multi-stakeholder questions appeared in the public sphere in a massive way much more recently. In particular, in the year 2009, the federal government, the executive, started an initiative trying to impose a tax on all telecommunications. This was going to be a 4% tax on all telecommunications bills, and it was going to be in a category called the special tax on products and services, which is applied to things like tobacco, alcohol, and luxury items. And we started reacting to that, and we means people in the Internet Society in particular, and finding some people in civil society in general who were economics analysts, academics, and activists who were using the Internet intensively for social projects, mostly oriented to access, but also already an emerging Internet rights or human rights movements on the using the Internet. And Leon here was also among the people that Leon, I, and another friend were the ones who started a campaign on Twitter, which was new in the country. There were about 40,000 internet Twitter users at the time. We started a campaign with hashtag called Internet Necesario, which translates as necessary internet. It was intended to underline that internet is not a luxury and it shouldn't be taxed as a luxury good or service. This campaign was in parallel to the lobbying that the telcos were doing, and we deliberately kept a long arm distance to the telcos in order not to be seen as a lobbying army, as an NGO, as a pseudo-NGO that was being pushed around by the telcos. In fact, we didn't use ISOC's name at all in order to attract more people, and there were many spontaneous starts to this thing after we started it. So we started that campaign on a Monday morning, and by Tuesday evening of that same week, that means in 36 hours, the hashtag Internet Necesario was top 10 among trending topics globally. This attracted the news, the people in the conventional news venues, television and the press, saying, "Hey, these Mexican Twitterers, they are so few, and they are still they made a splash." So we managed to get into the national news and into the Senate. By Thursday that same week, there was a hearing in the Senate where about 60 people appeared from every kind of place: journalists, people with sports portals, people who were columnists or editorialists in newspapers, people we didn't even know personally at all, just appeared there. And this thing grew in such a way that 3 weeks later we had actually managed to get the law enacted in a very different way than it had been proposed. Instead of this 4% tax on all telecommunications, the tax had come down to 3%, but most important, internet access, if billed separately, was exempt from the tax. And several major accomplishments here were that we had quiet support of people from government who weren't able to go against their own Treasury Ministry, but from telecommunications sector were actually supporting and providing arguments. And we had civil society, technical community, and businesses coming all together without for the formalities of any written arrangements or written agreements. This has continued. We were able to stop the government of Mexico from signing the ACTA agreement, which is a very aggressive intellectual property agreement that makes life online very hard. But at least we were able to have the Senate make a declaration that they wouldn't ratify the treaty. And in fact, the government, the executive, signed it. The Senate hasn't ratified it, so Mexico is not in ACTA at all. And later, we have also always kept open communications channels with government and with the larger enterprise. So at this point, we are intervening in ways that may not stop the Trans-Pacific cooperation, Trans-Pacific partnership treaty that's being proposed, but at least we are having an effect in modulating the intellectual property clauses, which are, again, very aggressive. And we have started a group we call the Initiative Group, which is 12 people from three per sector who meet formally every few months, which includes people from the Office of the President of the Republic, Digital Strategy Office, the Telecommunications Ministry, the Foreign Office, includes someone from Telco World, two people from software online services like the Google and Microsoft people locally, who are also the leaders of the chambers of the these industries and the trade associations. We have some civil society activists who are more human rights oriented, and from the technical community side, we have the NIC Mexico, ISOC, and a few and one or two more independent people coming together. This group has been able to organize something that we call the Dialogues on Internet Governance. We decided not to call it the Local Internet Governance Forum because we think that the situation is not yet ripe for this. But we already had last year and are planning for this year to have this large meeting where things are discussed like internet network neutrality, intellectual property rights, and so forth. And when we get there is I think that the most valuable outcomes we get is, first, a lot of public attention on these issues. Second, a great opportunity to actually bring the sectors together instead of each of them acting out of their own office and lobbying capacity. They come together, they talk to each other. We are conveners for conversations that are not Leon or myself, but, telco to regulator, for example, on issues like network neutrality. And I think the most important result may be that we actually are able to explain internet governance issues to lots of people who come in with preconceived outcomes, like let's have a law that criminalizes things like children abuse online without thinking that the actual crime that goes behind online child abuse images is a heinous crime, is a terrible crime, but it's happening on real space. You don't need the internet for a parent or an uncle to rape a small child or a baby in front of a video camera and then sending or selling those images online. And that's what we try to convey to law enforcement, that they should actually focus their attention on their actual physical crime that is being committed and not start new legislative processes which end nowhere, instead of trying to focus on modifying the laws that exist and adapt them to the specifics of the online issues. For internet governance, this of course also means making mechanisms that separate human conduct or social and governmental conduct from what happens in the operation of the network, and to create arrangements that are stable, that can last for long, and that are scalable. That's why we're not trying to have an internet governance forum, for example, because that would create a temptation for some actors, so even some governmental actors, to actually try to steal the show by coming up with some action items for which the country is not yet ready. What we learned there also is to observe external influences, like, for example, people who only read the ITU book or who only read the, even, let's say, the non-IP telecommunications book, and then to be able to focus inviting these people, for example, to take some courses or to go to hold seminars in their offices for their staff and eventually also for their bosses. This, in turn, helps people think more clearly about the Internet, focus less sometimes on its governance, and go back to the actual operation or to expanding access or to creating more content or to fostering a more competitive economy for services, startups, and so forth. So I believe this is not a model, again, that can be taken everywhere. But if some participants are like feeling stuck up a narrow alley where you are thinking, I need to have an internet governance forum, but it's dangerous in my country because the government's not ready and they're going to come up with some really wrong measures on occasion of the forum, informal conversations, keeping back channels, and making always thinking, how will this scale up? How will we get more people involved, and what will have to change when we make more people involved? These are useful guidelines. So I will stop there for